Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Woo Woo Women of the West. We're so grateful that you support our podcast and join us for this journey each and every time. And if you do wish to actually help with financially supporting our podcast, remember there's a couple ways you can do that. First of all, get yourself quality CBD with Harmonious CBD. Just head to harmoniouscbd.com, choose the one that is right for you, and use the code TESSA10%, that's TESSA 10%, so you can save on that as well. And of course, you can head to JerkyHutBroadcasting.com. That is where you can find all of the shows created under this fine roof, and also, of course, support with that pay now button. All right, now on to the show. Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, welcome ding, to ding, Woo Woo Women ding, ding, of the West. Ding,
ding, ding, ding. I keep forgetting about that opening. So, usually my opening, Miss Jessica, is this pretty little.
Here's the original opening.
And I would just say, welcome to another episode of Woo Woo Women of the West. I am your podcast priestess, hostess, Miss Tessa Marie. As always, producer Jerky in the studio.
Hi.
That actually ties in today, too.
And then also our special guest in the studio, Miss Jessica Lynn Hudson.
Hello, grateful to be here.
Oh, grateful that I ran into you again, because honestly, you're somebody who's been on my radar for a while. Of course, for people who are new, I guess I should start properly. Welcome to our podcast. We're here to have a great time talking about bigger, better things in the world, because so many bigger things are going on now. And Jerky, thank you as always for a safe space for us to come together for us ladies.
Even in the snow.
Even in the snow. It's so pretty today. I'm glad the roads were smooth for us all to get here. It's just time to be settling in, cozying in, having a good time. I even have my little tea in my ho-ho jolly little cup, too. Tis the season. So for anybody who's joining us that is new to our podcast, this is really a beautiful journey that's begun of just opening up a platform for so many women to come in and bring their unique story, their journey to this podcast for you to listen to, so you can maybe learn, maybe open up a new side of your heart, whatever it may be. This is just a beautiful time together. So thank you so much for choosing to listen in and download and share with your friends. And of course, support the Jerky Hut Broadcasting Studios, woo woo, if you can. All right, so Jessica, you've been on my radar for a while, like I was saying. I think one of the first times I actually remember meeting or seeing you was at a Stargate meditation, which was a small room. I can't really describe it totally well, but there's this awesome metal stargate in the corner thing that helps with kind of like shooting you to different dimensions of your meditation, is the best way I could put it. And me, I was just starting on my spiritual journey, so I think I was way too much energy for in that room. I was just like, oh, I'm doing flip, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was having a great old time. But I loved when we went around the circle and shared, because you just had a great energy about you. But at that moment was the first time I'd heard you mention that you'd had kind of this movement forward from the corporate world into being a spiritual gifted healer as your main purpose in life. And so beautiful energy there. But then for us most recently, I see you at 5777. Woo, woo, yum, woo. Yum. Right. Delicious. And you were getting something to go. I was just getting things paid for. And you shared some great news with me as well, of course, about being expecting. Congratulations.
Thank
again.
You.
But let's dive into you now that I finally have you in my studio. So I guess for listeners, let us know where your story began.
Well, I was born.
That is a great start, actually.
Reincarnated after many, many times. No. Goodness, where the story begins. I guess just for some background, I was born in Anchorage, Alaska.
Really?
Yeah, talk about snow.
Mm-hmm. So this is nothing then. Yeah. Or actually, how long were you in Alaska? How old?
18 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so definitely this is fine. What brought you down this far?
Well, they have one of the top journalism programs in the nation here at UNR. Mm-hmm. And I had a passion for writing and touching people through words.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was an adventure. So I, I grew up with my mom, and my parents were separated at a very, I think I was only 2 years old, maybe less than that. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were just really poverty stricken. So it was a really challenging way to grow up. My mom and I really grew up together. And I saw her struggle, and we struggled. And there were moments where, like, I remember being in the Subaru and just trying to get change out anywhere we could find it just so we could eat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember we had bread and the cat ate the bread and my mom had a breakdown. Oh. And like, I mean, so, mm-hmm. you know, or rewrapping my Christmas presents, you know, the same stuffed animals that I had in my room, and I acted surprised that they were brand new. And at one point I remember, you know, because we struggled for so long. And my grandparents were there and they were supportive, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of, you know, my mom was on her own. And so she really, really did a lot. And I remember at one point, I think I was 10 years old, and she looked at me and she's like, you know, well, I can go ahead and get this job and it's going to pay more, but I'm not going to be around. Or I can go back to school. I can go to college. Mm-hmm. And at a very young age, I told her, I said, well, Mom, I'm like, the one thing that I know is that time is going to go by one way or the other the wow. next 4 years. I go, and at the end of that 4 years, you're either still going to be working your tail off, probably making the same amount of money at this job, or you could have your degree as a teacher, which you love kids, and you can actually, you know, have that accomplishment and be able to build a career on something that you love. And so my mom ended up, I remember taking me on the bus sometimes really late at night, mm-hmm. getting to school, getting to classes. And so I went to school with her many, many times. And
were you a good kid in the classroom?
Oh my gosh, I loved it. I remember I helped her in one of her science classes dissecting a cat named Garfield. Oh. And but, you know, and I was molested when I was 4. There was just a lot of trauma, mm-hmm. a lot of poverty, abusive relationships. There was a lot that was going on there. And what that did in my mind is, you know, because I always had, I guess, my escape mechanism or just who I was is I would always be out in nature. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom went outside and freaked out because I was in the yard and there were all these weeds and I was surrounded by bees.
Oh, but probably and, happy.
Oh my gosh. I had the bee and my mom's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I'm like, Mom, the bees are my friends, and never got stung. And mm-hmm. But what that built in me, the character, is that I knew I never, ever, ever wanted to live that life. Mm-hmm. And I always had to be strong for my mother. You know, so I grew up very early being, you know, an adult at a very young age. Yeah. And there just was no other option. And what that built in me, though, from a young age is that I knew the only way I knew to not live that life was to excel at everything I possibly could. And so through high school, I was in choir, orchestra. You know, I had was the top of my class. I was in volleyball, triple crown. I did everything and anything to be above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then when I went to college, I had the opportunity to stay in Alaska and play volleyball. And I couldn't. I was like, I have to get out of here. Because back then, drugs were getting pretty severe. So I was watching a lot of really good people go down. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I have to get out of here. Like, this isn't my space. And I know it's a safe space, but it's not my space.
I'm glad you recognize that. That can well, be my, so hard to do.
And my grandpa wanted me to join the Air Force because I come from an Air Force family. And, you know, I was like, hell no. Like, ain't no one telling me what to do.
Same. I was like, I can't get up that early in the morning. I do appreciate everybody who does choose that path. But for me, it just wasn't the right one.
There was something more. Mm-hmm. And so I ran away to Reno, Nevada.
I love it. I love how it came up on the radar. And but anyways, so it came down here. What did it feel good as soon as you got here even?
Oh my gosh. I immediately told my mom, I was like, you have to move here. And because we grew up together, really, you know, and I was like, you don't understand. It's daylight and there's nighttime. And like, because in Alaska, you're so used to it being dark all the time mm-hmm. that there's a lot of depression and a lot of alcoholism, a lot of those things because we're not getting the sunlight and it really affects.
I say, really noticing it over the last couple of days, even just here, like I've been even on quieter notes, but out there, that's got to be so hard on some souls that maybe don't even recognize that that's what's going on.
Uh-uh. Well, and it's just the way of life. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know till I moved here that I could feel. It was like a cloud was removed, and I'm like, no freaking way.
Really? Sunshine?
Yeah. So I moved my mom out here after my first year of college.
I'm glad she came.
We sold everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally, her and I shared an apartment, we shared an apartment with another guy, and her and I shared a bedroom. And while she worked, I had garage sales every single day of the summer until we sold everything. And then moved her here, and she even stayed in my dorm for like a weekend, you know, and we got her a little house, you know, right close to us right away. And then she was able to get a job teaching. So it was,
and she still lives here too?
Yeah. So she's in Elko now.
Okay.
Yeah. She actually got Teacher of the Year Award.
Oh,
yeah.
That's rocking.
Yeah. Amazing. She's come so far. And so interestingly enough, through my journey, just to kind of skip on through, is after college. So even in college, I was the president of the Public Relations Student Society of America. I interned with one of the top PR reps in California and Nevada. Her name is Allison Galden. She is fan-freaking-tastic. And I'm blessed to still have her in my life. And she worked for Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. So I was a little freedom fighter under her.
Love Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, yeah. She's just an incredible woman.
They gave me the conversation that I couldn't have with my mom. I was like, thank you, you guys. Like, safe space.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I remember I had done, it was Roe versus Wade, and she kept having me send letter to the editor to the paper. And, you know, it's so quiet upstairs. And, you know, you write and you write and you write and nothing ever happens. Nothing ever happens. And I remember coming upstairs one day and all of a sudden everyone's on the phones and they're pointing at me and it's so loud. And I'm like, what did I do?
Like, yeah, what's going on?
And they're like, something you wrote got published in the paper and it caused such a ruckus on the opposite side that they sent like hate mail back. Ooh. And that got published and it got us more publicity than we've had in over a decade.
Ooh.
And
wow.
Yeah, it was so, and that was that moment where I'm like, I can make a difference with my words.
Do you remember what article, what do you remember what you wrote?
It was on Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just, you know, about women and our freedom and, you know, just everything that stands for and how important it is for us to be able to own our bodies and to have that choice and for the truth to come out. You know, and that's all it is. It's just the truth. It's everyone standing in their truth and not trying to control other people and other people's bodies.
Yep.
Yeah. Because our journey is all our own at the end of the day. So whatever decisions we make, we're always in line with spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, with that moment that happened at Planned Parenthood, did this all of a sudden launch you into a new level of, you had people reaching out to you to do writing on different things?
You know, here's the funny part. Funny / not funny.
Okay.
So the economy tanked when I graduated.
2008.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest year on the planet.
Right. Zero jobs. Mm-hmm. I ended up working for Kirby Vacuums.
Oh.
I called it Furby. I had no idea what it was.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, bless her heart, was so mortified. And they're like, how is our, like, you know, top college student, you know, president of the Public Relations Student Society with all these, you know, credentials and awards and whatever, doing door-to-door sales for vacuums. But it was the groundwork. It really was the groundwork to pave my way because it was the most challenging experience. And really built grit.
I'll agree. Right in that time frame. It's funny you say that because I had a week of making the phone calls that set up those Kirby appointments.
Uh-huh.
I also did that for recession crash. You just saw that great ad that was like, you can earn $300 like this week. And I'm like, I need that. So yeah, like
heck
whatever
yeah.
It was. And I remember I worked it for a couple days and it was so depressing because like people were so mean to me on the phone. I was like, I was disrupting their lives. And I was like, I don't want a job that disrupts other people.
Yeah.
So I ended up quitting pretty quick. But that whole time from that whole recession, I think what it really taught me in that moment was, here's the bottom floor, now go up. Like you know, I'd hit what felt like to me like one of the lowest, most opening points. I had $0 to my name for months and I'd never had that happen, and it didn't affect anything about my day-to-day truly, which, you know, for me, money was a sign of complete success. So it should have been, I should have felt terrible about myself for having
right.
nothing there, but I was like, I feel great.
Shame,
weather outside. Exactly. Shame. So for you then in that time frame, so you worked the Kirby for a while.
Yeah.
Tell me about your challenges and your growth.
Well, so in Kirby, see, I was stubborn, dude. I was like, I will succeed at everything. There is nothing I can't do. And I'm like, people are making money here. I see it. I feel it. I'm gonna do it. And so I was so stubborn that I stayed there for 2 years, got promoted 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I became the top canvasser in the nation and then the top salesman at one point. And I became a dealer power specialist.
In the nation.
But man, again, it took grit, right? Because doors being slammed in front of your face, you know, you never know whose house you're going into. And when the angry husband is coming home with the wife being like, it's only $3,000.
Exactly.
But really, in the success of that is I grew up with real strong ethics. And in every home, you know, what I'd say is, so then I started knocking all my boys into houses. So I canvassed. And they used to call me yoga pants because I'd wear yoga pants, a tank top, and a pink headband. And the guys would have to wear suits. And and so I'd knock all the guys into houses and I'd pick what I called like my drop, which was the house that I connected most with, you know, and they just seemed like the best people and the best opportunity. And I'd go in and I'd say, hey, you know, all my guys are in houses, you know, so I'm going to go ahead and shampoo the carpet and I'm going to show you what this product does. I go, I make pure commission and that's it. I go, you can buy this on the internet for $500. I go, but, you know, cheap things aren't good. Good things aren't cheap. No warranty. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'd go, but at the end of this, I just want you to tell me what we're worth.
Oh.
And so I was always so, you know, just upfront and this is just the way it is. And like, let's do this together. And if it's something that really values you, if you see the value in this machine and the presentation that I put into it to give to you, then we can find something that works for both of us.
You remind me of Jerky showed me a great video of that guy selling the window cleaner or whatever it was. This man was like so, he just blew you away with his jokes about it, everything about it, that it's like, yep, I'm going to buy it from you just because I had such a good time with you. And that's probably you too. You had that good energy you brought into them. Yeah. There was no pressure around your chair. Just like, let's hear, this is what my job is. And here I am today. Yeah. Shit, tell me how I'm doing here.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, because no matter what I did, it's like, when people have that pressure, and it's in any job, right? And I've seen it my whole life in any job. When there is that pressure, you know, sometimes people end up doing things that are not ethical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, it always comes back to bite them in the butt.
This is the guy.
Who did that? Okay, watch this. Now, my mom said if it's darker than me and it don't pay the bills, it shouldn't be there, right? God bless you. Now, look, this right here, we just upgraded like Beyonce. This is our new surfactant. Hold this and watch this, because this should be the main reason why you get the HBO special. You know what HBO mean?
No.
You get to help a brother out. Yeah, I've been on the road like toilet paper. Half of your neighbors in the community, they said they just go get it because I'm funny, because this stuff fills itself. Look, you just go back and forth like an argument. Now, I understand. But look how I split that like Moses did the Red Sea. Paint me green, call me a pickle. And look at this right here, look. Goes good with chicken. Don't drink it, though, it'll give you the Hershey's drink. But look at that. Longer than my last relationship. Y'all got water, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, high five, you qualify to use it. Oh, yeah,
you called my niece. So, like, you were like, that was such an enjoyable. Oh, and he keeps going. I mean, it's literally, like, it's like 7 minutes of his amazingness. Totally.
Love that. Love it. You know what? And it's, he has spirit, right? Mm-hmm. That man has spirit. So, yeah. So, anyway, I, you know, at one point, it's like I had my degree and the economy started coming up. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up, you know, and I was working 6-7 days a week, sometimes in snow up to my waist. And, you know, at some point I was like, okay, it's time that I have to go ahead and go. And I literally had to kick myself out because I made one of the top paychecks they had in 1 week, got all the bonuses. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. And I just jumped out, got an apartment far away and started waiting tables. And just until I could give myself some time to go ahead and put resumes out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I then went over to Wells Fargo, started as a personal banker, then went as to a business specialist, then was nominated out 30 people to go into the private banking sector.
Now, with where you were ending up at, did you still feel a good flow to where it was directing you each time, or were you really just kind of following the paychecks, the offers, the things that came in front of you?
You know, the thing was, is I had no, other than some memories I can have where when I was like 4, 5 years old, you know, where I was really connected with, you know, Mother Nature and having the time to look out in the sky.
During that time,
time was, you know, my life just, it did not feel like it was full of miracles and blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And all I knew is A plus B equals C, and my success was up to me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to work hard, and I had to do whatever was necessary to get where I needed to go. Yeah. And all I could see was the money, because for me, money was my way out of detriment.
Uh-huh.
And out of that past. And so what happened is, over, you know, years, I had, and I didn't realize it until, you know, I was able to really dig deep into the spiritual aspect and my personal healing, that I had a cycle, right? I had a couple cycles that happened as a result of, you know, your subconscious is created from 0 to 6 years old.
Yeah.
Those years are so important, and mine were so filled with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's filled with poverty, abuse, verbal abuse.
A separation.
Yeah, watching lots. My mom, you know, get, you know, verbally abused by these men, and, you know, in the molestation, and there was just so much, you know, and really feeling like I was on my own, you know.
Were you starting to recognize that there was some healing that needed to happen inside, or was it starting to just disrupt your process of life?
It actually, what happened is, and this was the moment where I say universe or spirit or God smacked me in my third eye and woke me the F up.
I just love smacked in the third eye. Yeah. That's a different visual.
Right? Wow. That's how it felt, I'm telling you. Like, it was, yeah, it was the rock bottom moment. And I was in between jobs. And see, what happened is I was a top performer in every position I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was my work ethic. But somehow, there was always someone on top that just ripped the carpet right out from under me, and I'd slam right on my face. Nothing I could do. Lost all my control. And all I just felt so defeated, you know, like, how could this happen again? And, you know, you have your grandpa that's in the Air Force, right? He's been provided for forever. You have your mom who's now a teacher, you know, their jobs last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there trying to be like, I sound ridiculous saying like, it's not me, it's them, you know? I'm like, oh my God, you know? But I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, what did I do wrong? Like, what bad karma am I carrying around that every time, you know, I get put down and I just don't understand it. And, yeah, so there was just one point, and I was in between jobs, and I literally was at the end of my unemployment, and I really felt defeated. If there were like no decent jobs that I could find that were out, I went to some interviews, and they were just not. I was like, nope, this is the BS that I'm not going to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to deal with that low pay. I'm worth more than that. I'm not going to jump into another job where I'm just going to end up in the same situation.
Yeah.
And around that time, my mom had gone through a divorce, and so she was bummed out too. And she came into town, and I'm like, well, I have to make her happy, you know? No matter how sad I was, I never showed it, but I always had to make other people happy, right? And so I was like, well, what's going on? So I'm like Googling, you know, things in town that, you know, are inexpensive because I have no money. And there was like the Reno Psychic Fair. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, sure thing. I'm like,
why not?
But you know what? They probably have some crystals. Like, that should cheer her up, right?
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about crystals nor any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I take my mom there, and I remember we walk in, and we're looking at crystals for like 2.3 seconds, and she beelines it for this massage table. And I'm like, all right, yeah, massage is great for everybody. You know, that's a great idea. And I start walking up closer, and my mom's already laying down. And this woman is hovering her hands over her. And I'm like, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching it. And I'm like she's not even touching her, you know? And I'm just kind of watching. And then I see my mom have this huge energetic release. And she just is sobbing there, just tears flying down her face. And I was so uncomfortable. You know,
like, what? Because
I keep the strength face up, right? I don't cry in front of anyone, right?
Yeah.
And but when she got off the table, then she just looked at peace. It was like all the weight of the world was lifted off her shoulders, and the color was back in her face. She just looked amazing. So she walks over, and the woman comes up to me. She's like, okay, your turn. And I said, absolutely not.
I ain't crying today. Hell, don't you dare touch me with your non-touching hands.
Don't, whatever that is, I ain't about it. And yeah, I'm like, no, no, no. can't fool me, you know. And but then I saw cards with angels on it, and I didn't want to be rude, you know. I wanted to participate, and so I said, you know, I'll do this. What are these? She's like, oh, an angel card reading. Perfect. She does my first reading ever, right? She pulls my guts out and lays them on the table on these cards. Oh. And I was like looking at my mother like, what?
This woman.
Like, this is embarrassing.
Who did she talk to in Anchorage?
Yeah, what's going on? She's like, oh, you love public speaking and you love to write and you're a businesswoman. And she pulled all this stuff that was all my guts. And I'm just looking at her, my eyes wide. And then she pulls what I call like the aha card, right? Mm-hmm. And it was this card, and she's like, oh, do you know you're a healer? And I looked at her and I go, well, everyone comes to me with their problems. And she's like, I'm getting guided to tell you to look into Reiki. I'm like, what? She's like, that, you know, what I was doing with your mom. I'm like, okay. She's like, do you know anything about it? No. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, I don't live here, but here's some information. I'm just getting guided to provide it to you and have you take a look at it, because I'm getting guided that you're a healer and that's something you need
especially
to look into.
Especially if she came from somewhere else to town. Yeah, right, she was here just for you, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I took the information, went home, put it on top of my refrigerator to never look at it again. And then I open up Facebook, and the first message I see is this girl who's like, oh, I just got my Reiki certification. And I'm like, what the F is Reiki? Like, I've never heard of it in my whole life. And all of a sudden, it's like, Reiki.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then I messaged her, you know, and I was just like, so what is it? And who's your teacher? And then I walked away, and then something else popped up with Reiki. I don't even remember what it was, but it hit me 3 times that week. And she messages me and she's like, oh, you know, here's our information. And it's just, you know, beautiful energetic healing. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And so I connect with the teacher to find out more about it. And again, just super vague energetic healing, makes you feel really good for stress reduction, relaxation, promotes the body's natural ability to heal itself. And I said, okay, that's great. She's like, well, my class is this weekend, but it's full. But I'll let you know the next time I have one. I said, sure thing. Then she calls me back and she's like, oh my gosh, I have one opening. Yeah. She's like, someone had to move their class and I have an opening. I said, well, that's great, but I have no money, so I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. She goes, you're supposed to be here.
Oh,
we'll figure it out.
Thank you that instructor. Yeah, yeah. Do you remember her name by any chance?
Oh, of course. Her name's Teresa. She's fabulous. Love her. Such a little angel. And yeah, so then I walk into the building, which is now where I work, Northern Nevada Healing Arts Center, mm-hmm. on the corner of Washington and First Street. And I walk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's where I used to do my massage. It used to be the spiritual center for, what did we call it?
Yes. Center for Spiritual.
Is Nicole
Living,
still running it? Nicole
Davis?
Yes.
Davis? I love her.
I love her. You are. Can I ask which room you're in? I know she's probably changed it a bit.
As soon as you walk in. Mm-hmm, the first one on the right.
Not the two big double door, the one right beside it? Yeah. Oh my God, that's my old room.
No way.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Oh, I have to like give you a hug over that. Hold on.
Oh my God.
I doubt the walls are still green. I painted them like this green color.
They are. It's like a foam. Green?
Light green with a darker green over. Oh my God, my painting is still in there. I painted that.
Or wait, a painting or no, is it just the walls?
The walls.
She painted the walls.
The walls are, it's just like a foam green.
Oh, so then maybe it's not. Maybe she's painted over it since then. Because I had done like this.
Did you do a mural?
No. I just wanted to add texture to the wall. I wanted to feel very gardeny inside. So I had done it in a green color, but then I did a dark green over it with a ragging technique.
Ooh.
What was so funny was I didn't know how tired my arms would get. I thought, oh, it's a small room because it's a small room. Yeah. By the time I got to the other wall, they were not as patched the same. You can see I'm a little tired of it. But what was cute was the other room, the double door, was a chiropractor couple. And she said to me, I had not even thought about being polite and checking if there was other people there. I didn't even think about it. And she was working on clients. She said, it's okay. It was so rhythmic and consistent. It was all right. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
welcome to that room. Wow. Oh my God. Yes. I'm so grateful for that beautiful connection.
That's amazing. See, that's what happened.
Yes. So you went there for class. Was it still in like the big room that had the little flags hanging in the back and the mirrored wall?
So, and now they've actually done construction. So now those are mini rooms.
Yeah.
So that space is so freaking magical, right? So before I even had the Reiki class, and this is the other thing that happened in between. I think it was right before I took the Reiki course. Right, spirit was hitting me in my third eye. So I went out with, there was a couple that we hung out with, and they were like, Jessica, we have this woman, you have to meet her, you have to see her, she comes in every 3 months from Oregon and we think you'd love her. And I'm like, okay, what does she do? She's a healer. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you trying to do to me? Like, why do you think she's great for me? And anyway, they wouldn't even go into specifics, and I'm like, man, I hate the secrecy. Like, what the heck does she do? I need specifics, right? I'm the alpha female type A personality,
exactly.
Scientific.
There's no
A plus
need for
B equals
vagueness.
C.
Just put it in front of me. I'm ready.
Like, give me the, you know, let's be real. And anyway, so I told them, I'm like, well, they're like, oh, she's $200. And I'm like, that's great. I'm unemployed. So, you know, not going to work out.
Yep. You're like, I'll wave at her.
Yeah. Thank you for thinking of me. The next day, they called me and they're like, what if we pay for half? And I'm like, great. You just cornered me. I'd be such a jerk if I didn't go now. Mm-hmm. Like, figure out $100 for this incredible healing. So what was wild is, so right before the Reiki, it was literally so back. It was so quick in between. I ended up at that same location to meet with this woman.
Oh, nice.
Same location. And I still didn't know what the F she did. Mm-hmm. Even as I'm talking to her, I'm like, tell me what you're going to do to me. And she's like, well, she's like, think of it this way. She's like, you're down here. You're the soul, right? You're going through polarity, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sad, the happy, the joy, the bliss. It's real, all that polarity, all those life lessons. She's like, and so your spirit is like here. It's like up here. And that's like your perfection. It's still you, but you're the part of you that's down here. The other part of you is like up here. And so I'm just the middle person. I'm like the spiritual midwife. I'm just connecting you two together so that your spirit is going to come with you and start healing you and connecting with you in your journey and what it is you need to move forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
And I looked at, I'm like, what's a spiritual self? Like, what is this? So I lay on her table, and that's when my world changed. Because for me, if I don't feel it, it's BS. If I don't have the experience, we're just chatting it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody's story. And in that moment, I literally felt energy I'd never felt in my life come into my body and start healing me.
Yay.
And I was shaking. I had tears. And because all of a sudden, everything that I knew to be true, I realized I knew nothing at all. And it really shook my core. Really shook my core. And what was funny is when I left there, I like look up in the air and I'm like, well, is my spiritual self still here now?
Like, is it dragging behind me like a shadow?
Are you here all the time? And it was so funny because I had to make it solid for me somehow, right? Because it was just so much for me to comprehend. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm Jessica. And I looked up, pointed. And I'm like, I'm just going to call you Jay.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then right after that, right, experience, all of a sudden I end up in this Reiki class. I'd never even received Reiki. I'm in the course. As soon as I walked into the room, there was a picture on the wall that was the same exact photo that I had just put on my Facebook background the day before.
Really?
And it was a photo I'd never seen in my life. It was this like woman walking into the ocean and the abyss, and it's like purple and pink and gorgeous, and the sky and so gorgeous. Just a picture of it, just sitting there in front of me.
Your guides gave you so many extra checks, just to help you stay solid in that moment of like, this is the way, this is the way. Oh, I'm grateful.
And it did not
that.
Stop. It was, and it, like, I had spirit chills, right? And so then I'm in my class. Well, I really was attracted to like owls, you know, and they were just my thing. And so I had an owl necklace. Everyone in the class had dreams or an experience with an owl. Within as soon as the class was over and we came back and joined the next day.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh. Did they all say, Jessica, you got in my dreams, girl?
Yeah,
that's so
beautiful.
Yeah.
And they were just like, they're like, we'll just call ourselves the Owl Reiki Group. Like, And then in the next day in the class, I started, and our teacher was like, just let the intuition flow. Do not let your ego tell you that you are wrong or you're being judged or anything. Just go with the flow. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting there doing Reiki on one person, and I'm like, oh, I want to do this. And I'm like, no, everyone's going to look at you. And then I'm like, no, your intuition, go with that. So I walked all the way across the room and I just put my hands up and I started sending Reiki from afar. And as soon as we got done, Teresa was like, did everyone see what Jessica was doing? And they're like, yeah. She goes, well, I was going to teach you guys that next. She goes, it's called beaming.
Ooh.
And I just had spirit chills all over. And I'm like, holy cow. And so the way that she had described it, it was really interesting. Is so she does level one and two separately, right? And some teachers do one and two together.
Mm-hmm.
So in level one, how she kind of explained it is that they were opening up, and this isn't like specifically written anywhere, it's kind of just a context for your brain to kind of help you think and understand what's happening, is that so we're moving at this third dimensional vibration, right, really low, and our spirits and guides are at a very high vibration. And so what we're doing is in level one, it's like we're opening up our energetic channels 20% more to receive more information and guidance from the divine. And that's raising our vibration a little bit more closer to that divine level, right? So we're not so far away.
Yeah.
Well, then in level two, that's like another 60%. So we're getting even closer to that higher vibration. We're shifting in vibration. So then we're not so far away from the divine, so they can connect with us easier. All of a sudden, our awareness shifts and we're able to see the messages and to see the synchronicities that are happening that are guiding us that we couldn't see before because we were at such a low vibration, we just couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fan. If you have a fan going and it's going slow, that's you and me, right? We're the lower vibration. I see you, you see me.
Mm-hmm.
You turn that fan all the way up, it's like do 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 do, and it's going fast. You can feel it,
mm-hmm.
but you can't see it, but you know it's there.
Yep.
That's like the divine.
Yes.
And
that's a great description.
Yeah. And so what was wild, right, is, and this was like so, oh my gosh, there was so much. In level one, she kept it really vague and was just like, you know, it's just, for one, it's non-denominational what we do. Nothing is based on religion. It's all based on spirituality. But it was, you know, it was still vague. It's like, okay, it's an ancient Japanese form of healing techniques that's used for stress reduction, relaxation, promotes the body's ability to heal itself. Well, the type of Reiki that we practice is called holy fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of me was like, are you sure it's not religious? You know, like holy fire, you know?
Yep.
And, but, you know, it assured me it wasn't. And so I started feeling a little bit of the energy and I'm like, okay, you know. But even after level one, it still wasn't really enough to get me. Like it was such a small bit of energy that, you know, I was like, I don't know. But the corporate side of me is like, I finish everything. So when level two class came out, I'm like, well, I have to go. I got a master. I got a grad. You know, I got to hit the top. And after the level two course, that changed everything, that additional 60%, right? Because what that did is the energy flowed and it was stronger. I had tools and techniques to, you know, what type of Reiki am I using for healing? You know, is it for physical pain? Is it for emotional? You know, am I sending Reiki to a family member that's not close to me? You know, do I need to use distance and any of that? But then what it does is it literally connects you to your spirit, to your divine self. It opens up, it thins the veils and it opens up that gate so you're not so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And my spirit started talking to me.
Say, Jay is like, Jessica.
Girl, no, for, okay. So here's where things happen. So even in level two, and this was the moment where, so she said the word Jesus. And I was like, oh, no, they got me. I was like, oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah, because all my freaking walls went up because I never grew up in religion. You know, it's not here, neither here nor there. My grandpa, you know, the family, there were some certain tragedies, certain things. And so even though my grandma is a Hispanic and Catholic and my grandpa wasn't, they're just, we just didn't grow up with that. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, all I saw it was is like control, control, and shame, and shame. And
on that side, I had that as what I felt in my first, you know, I'll say 18 years. You had to do church all the way through there. So it's like there was a level of control with it. So nowadays when I hear the word come up, I'm like, ooh, I put up a wall of like, no, you can't put that control over me anymore.
Exactly.
So yeah, I feel those walls.
Here is what was a trip. So when she talked, you know, initially I was like, like, should I run right now? Run.
Walking out of this classroom.
Yeah,
even though I beamed perfectly.
I beamed so good. I beamed so hard. So when she talked about it, though, she's like, so we are channeling Jesus through the holy fire. She goes, you know, if for you it's Buddha, then it's Buddha. But they are all divine beings that are ascended masters, right?
Yep.
And she goes, but for holy fire, we do connect with Jesus. And she goes, it's not Jesus in the biblical sense. She's like, it is the energies of Christ consciousness, which actually came down, you know, and said, you know, I had a purpose. I came down here to help and to spread love and peace and awareness and to hopefully open people up that everything you can do, I can do and more. Right. So he was healing through the hands-on healing, through the Reiki type healing.
Mm-hmm.
But his connection with the divine was so pure that the healing was so rapid, you know, but he was telling everyone again, like, I'm not on a pedestal. You can do everything I can do and more.
Mm-hmm. You just have to choose, put your ego aside.
And when, step and into this realize zone. It's not you. Realize it's source that's coming through you, mm-hmm. right? And so I could handle that, because then I was like, okay, you know, we're not doing the control of the Bible, the religion, you know, all that stuff. We're leaving it open to interpretation mm-hmm. and just saying this is just the energies that are coming through. And that energy was energy first, and then came down as a human, you know, and went through those things, and that he didn't, you know, want to be remembered in certain ways, and that things really did. There were a lot of untruths in religion and in the Bible and things that got skewed, so the purpose and even the name has just gotten to a space that it was never meant to. Well, I mean, everything's meant to be, right? But you know, it was that was kind of the way. So anyway, I still wasn't like comfortable quite yet, so I'd just be like, divine, you know, until this is when that additional activation happened, is when spirit was really clear to me and really started showing up. And the first way it showed up was through a couple that gave me a book called Disappearance of the Universe.
Okay.
And
I've heard this name before. I gotta write this down again.
Yes. I'm like, see, confirmation, that, spirit's talking to you.
Yeah, I'm like, I know I've heard that one, of the universe. And it was forever ago. It might have been back when I did the Reiki course. I did mine only in massage, but I'll tell truthfully just for everybody.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the second level and I watched a lady have a breakdown in the circle across me, I was like, nope. I still had a big resistance. I didn't understand my energy side, even though I went through that stuff. Like, thankfully, it still came through me. But I paused. I was like, I'm not doing that one. No way, man. I'm all about hands-on. Yeah. Nowadays, now that I get it, I'm like, oh. Hands off. Like, much better stuff. Okay, but anyway, so they gave you Disappearance of the Universe.
Yeah. So, and you know, it just looked like a kick butt book, right? And it's like, we're just gonna tell you the way that the world really is and why we're all really here. And I start reading it, and it's these two people, and they're talking like, so we're channeling this energy that's coming through, and it really wants to clear things up, and it's Jesus Christ. And I was like, oh no.
Like, again with this.
So I literally like was like, should I throw it out now? Like, should I even? But something in me was like, keep reading. And I'm like, okay, just keep reading. So then I start reading, and that's when they confirm. They're like, he was an energy that came down for a purpose, and the world wasn't even ready for him yet. And the way that he/she spoke was like, it's like throwing a rock into a fish pond and all the fish scatter, you know? And he's like, the world wasn't ready for me, but I had to come down because of everything that was going on. And he's like, and, you know, things have got so misconstrued. He's like, I don't even, for the sake of this book and for the sake, I don't even want to be referred to as Jesus. Just call me Jay.
Oh.
And I had spirit chills go boom.
Big time. You're like, Jay.
I just looked up.
Damn.
Like, then I went to go see that healer. Mm-hmm. I said, are you healing me through Jesus Christ? And she's like, oh, he came to you. Oh! She goes, he goes by Yeshua.
I was saying, I keep hearing Yeshua is a better yes. name for him.
And I just looked at her like, he came to me like, So then and of course, the only person I talked to about all this is my mother, because I'm like, everyone's going to think I'm crazy. I'm with my mom in Elko, and we go to TJ Maxx, and she looks at me and her jaw hits the floor, and she's like, Jessica, turn around. And I'm like, what? We're at TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. And I turn around and my jaw hit the floor. Wow. And there was a, what do they call it? It's like a, not a portrait, but anyway, it's kind of like a portrait, like when you go paint. Mm-hmm. But it was just yellow for the background. And it just had, in the color gray, it just had the letter J. And an owl sitting on top of it.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm. That was yours.
Spirit chills. Mm-hmm. Boom.
You're like, coming home with me.
Oh yeah. I still have it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just like, what's up, Jay?
I'm glad your mom was supportive of you in it. Because sometimes that's where, you know, I'm glad you've had one safe space to discuss it, have some joyfulness put around it, and then that support along with it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for that.
Mm-hmm. So I have so many more stories just like that where it came, I mean, very potent.
Yeah.
In your face. And it's like the way that spirit comes to you is always in a way that you can understand it, that you see it.
Mm-hmm.
I had people that just came up to me. Okay, I'll include this.
Do it.
I'm like, oh, I don't know. But it came to me the other day. So it came as a flashback to probably bring up. So, you know, back in the day, in my corporate style, you know, I also love to have a good time. And, you know, my last relationship, we were weekend warriors and, you know, very well known around town, kind of socialites. And so we got down and dirty. We worked our butts off Monday through Friday, but we got down and dirty on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
We really lived it up. And, you know, it was a great experience. But I had gotten done doing a body painting fashion show.
Was it at 210 North by any chance?
Oh my gosh, I did it. That's where it began.
Yep, I was going to say, I'm like, we probably were in the same rolling crowd because I worked all the nightlight stuff. Like, I played after the nightlife shut down.
Yeah.
Weekends were terrible. Terrible for my spirit. But anyways, the body painting stuff, I remember that.
And I did that for, you know, years with Josh. He's amazing. And his mm-hmm. girl, like, great people. They have two kids. I love them. However, it's late night. I'm totally naked, but I'm in paint. No one can tell I'm naked, right? And we go into, oh my God, Tonic. We go into
Trouble
Tonic. Trouble
with a
right?
capital T.
Oh, yeah. You know, and gosh, what is it? 2:30 in the morning, right? And we walk in, and there was a woman who obviously has never been there before. But she was there, I think it was like with friends or they were traveling. And so, you know, bless her heart, she's there. And she touches me like I'm taking a shot or something, you know. And she puts her hand on me and she looks at me and she just starts to cry. And she goes, do you know that you are one of the chosen ones?
Whoa.
And she literally was like, I know you probably think I'm crazy. But I see you, like, I see it, like, it's channeling, it's coming through me, I'm supposed to tell you this. And I'm like, this woman would not tell me this. I am naked in paint right now, taking a shot at Tonic.
Exactly, like, I am not approachable the moment.
I'm like, something is real here, right? And mm-hmm. she, you know, bless her heart, like, she, you know, had like, a couple cocktails, but not drunk at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just about to leave.
Sometimes more open to channeling when it takes down some of those walls and barriers. I find that sometimes that happens with me with alcohol late at night, especially if mixed with weed. I try not to necessarily do that, but.
And then shortly after that, another person had come up to me, and it was funny because I had done a, I did like a meditation to find your spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, I came up with, Joseph was a man that looked like a wizard in a suit.
That's awesome.
Celeste looked like Aphrodite. And John was like this young blonde hair, kind of jokester. And I was like, you totally made that up, Jessica.
Right. You're like, okay, brain.
Yeah. So then I go in and I see the healer, right? Because after I saw her, I always made sure I saw her every 3 months, right? Because yeah. I had to. That was my growth. And she goes, there's somebody here with you. And I'm like, what? She's like, he kind of looks like a wizard in a suit. Yeah. And I had spirit chills and I lost it. I was like
what does he have to say? Tell me his message.
Oh, he was just quiet. He was just hanging out.
Just hanging.
Just chilling. Yeah, I was like, you're kidding me, mm-hmm. right? Because then I'm starting to trust myself that I'm not making it up.
Yep.
And then I went to a necklace party after work and I was so exhausted. I literally was on my way home like, I can't go. And then I'm like, no, be a supportive friend, even though you're really tired. So I turned around mm-hmm. and I went to this gal's house. And as soon as I got in the house, there was this one necklace and I just beelined it for it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? Da-da. She's like, wait for the party. I'm like, okay. And so I'm just
like,
waiting.
This one's mine.
Yeah, just, I'm know. Just like waiting, pins and needles. And finally, halfway through, she goes, she puts my necklace on the mannequin. She goes, this is Celeste. And I had spirit chills. And then she put another necklace. And we like to pair her with Universe. And I had spirit chills everywhere. I'm like, oh my gosh, right? So then nothing happened with John, right? And I'm like, what's going on with John? You know,
exactly. Everybody else is showing up to a party. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Except I saw three of them. They were ravens. And I swore they were them, like, messing with me outside of my corporate work environment. Big mm-hmm. window. Super funny. Thank God nobody knew what was going on in my head. So I ended up, I was on my way home. And I looked at the moon. And the moon was so gorgeous. And I'm like, I have to have a picture of it. And I'm like, I can't get it from here. So I pulled out of my parking lot and I just started driving all the way up the street. And then all of a sudden I'd been driving for like 10 minutes because I could not get a good picture. And I'm like, where am I? And then I look and there's a dark building, except there is an owl that's glowing. And I'm like, oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. So I pull into the parking lot and I get this perfect picture of the owl and the moon. And then I realize I can't get out of this parking lot. To go the direction I need to. So I have to go through the alley behind the building in order to get where I need to go. I go down the alley behind the building and I turn to my left and I look and there's a huge mural and it's John.
It's the blonde.
It's his face exactly as it was in my mind. And there's three ravens next to him.
Oh, damn.
And an owl. And then someone spray painted John.
Oh my God. So now you're paused. Did you stay for a minute? See if you or did you beeline out of there?
No, I was just staring. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. I was like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like these are just some examples, right, of what starts happening.
Yeah.
And my life was guided from that point on. Everything that I did, everything, who I was, what choices I made. Spirit guided me.
Especially because, you know, when leaving behind the corporate mentality, did that take time to still kind of fizzle out of your brain as you set into these new this new way of being? And what opened up for you in front of you to now give you a more comfortable financial path? Since you and I both relate on that, you know, finances, follow, succeed, like all that. What kind of shifted forward in that time frame?
So, and that's a big part of my story, right? And my purpose is... I know I went through struggles and I know I went through cycles, but I was blessed that I had some pretty hard jobs, very demanding, and they really pushed me to have a lot of strength in business, whether it's PR, marketing, sales, public speaking, writing, management of myself now, mm-hmm. whatever that is. And even positions where I was talking to the CFOs and the owners of companies, it got rid of any sort of fear of like, oh no, they're better than me, right?
Mm-hmm. No, like, I got this.
Yeah, no. Because I was well educated in speaking to everyone and anyone at whatever level, wherever they're at. And, you know, knowing no one's better than anybody else. We're all on this journey, right? And so what happened is, you know, I was a top performer in the corporate world for 10 plus years. And I was no stranger to working 6 to 7 days a week, you know, 12, 14 hour business days. And the problems that I saw is that we were overworked. Nothing was ever good enough. As soon as we hit our goals, let's squeeze you more. What else can you do? Mm-hmm. And then we're so miserable, right, that we go home and we project on our loved ones, and then they come home with their crap and project on us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like our home life is bleeding into our work life is bleeding into our home life. And guess what? We are freaking sick.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of my life really sick and not realizing that that's not normal.
Yep.
And not being able to even go home, right? Or take a lunch break or do those things because technically you can, right? By the law, but it's frowned upon,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then the repercussions are huge. And so I'm not taking care of myself. And the only way that I can escape and feel any sort of happiness is by partying it up on the weekends.
Yep.
And then I feel like shit on Monday.
Yep.
Right? And then by Wednesday, I finally got myself together. So I'm finally doing my job. And then I'm back on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this vicious cycle. And everybody's doing it. You know, we're all there. And, you know, I freaking partied with, you know, doctors, lawyers, you know, anyone and everyone of all different levels, right? But we're all escaping.
Yep.
Because we're trying to bring our heaven on earth through that weekend because that's the only way we know how,
mm-hmm.
is to feel better through drinking, drugging.
And I started to get so sad that it was like only designated for 3 days out of all the days you wake up on the morning. I'm like, how's that possible? Like, it just can't be. Can't I be happy on a Monday?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. And Mondays we're like, dun, dun, dun.
Uh-huh.
Like, kill me now. So what happened? It was so wild. A huge pivotal moment. And there were a lot of moments. I call it like the falling tower, as they call it. Gosh, and I remember I was at living at Third Street Flats, and we had just moved in, and I was in the pool and I had a cocktail, and I was looking around and I just started laughing, and I'm like, this is all an illusion and it's all gonna come crashing down. And a year later, but nothing could happen earlier than that. I couldn't break from the cycle earlier because it wasn't meant to happen yet.
Yep.
Things had to play out. There were more lessons to be learned. There was more purpose. And that was the hardest thing, is releasing all my control to the divine and surrendering and saying, because
mm-hmm.
I had many people being like, why aren't you out now? Why don't you get out now? And I'm like, I can't. It's not time.
Yeah, especially if something else isn't ready yet.
Right. And then spirit came down and said, boom, it's time. And my lease was off. My lease was almost over, and oh my gosh, it was really challenging, and I even struggle even thinking about bringing it up, but I still think it's such a pivotal part of the storyline. And it was that my lease was almost up, and I was in a relationship for 6 years, and again, he was a karmic, and you know, I don't blame him for anything, because he was there mirroring to me how I felt about myself,
mm-hmm.
and me to him, so you know, we both take part in that, and but it had to end and it had to close, no matter how painful that was for both of us. And I literally had asked spirit, like, what do I do? Because the lease was almost up, and I had had a shaman tell me, like, you're not going to be at your job by March 30th. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because what happened was, at my corporate job, when I started the Reiki and using my tools, it was such a toxic environment, right? And but I came in and I used my tools and I cleared my energy and I protected my space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was making, what, $2,300 a month, but there's also no cap on the commission. And I'm like, how can I know I'm here for a reason. How can I be successful? I literally can't do anything more. I'm already making all the calls. I'm already working 12 to 14 hour days, 6-7 days a week. I can't do more.
Mm-hmm.
And until I realized that through prayer or a chat with the divine, whatever's comfortable with, you know, how you feel, I started asking. I said, hey, please, instead of saying, and I used to say, please bless me with $10,000 or more a month.
Did it or work better. Though?
Actually.
Yeah.
So, So when I added in an additional key to that, right? And this is how, when I teach the course, I teach Reiki level 1, 2 and the master course. For me, that is just, we're just cracking you open for your process of enlightenment,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm not telling you what to do, who to be, what to believe, because spirit's going to come to you directly and guide you in whichever way is best. But I provide you with the tools and the key, not just the class, but everything that spirit has guided and taught me to do to make sure I'm in alignment every single day.
Yeah.
What that is clearing and cleansing my energy every morning in the shower, putting up my protection. And it's talking to the divine, right? And it's saying, you know, thank you so much. Gratitude for everything, you know, and just listing it out. And then like the gold and the key points, right? And actually what shifted in my job, as I said, not just the 10,000 a month, I said, please bless me with all the clients and clientele that are meant to come together for their highest and greatest good.
Mm-hmm.
And almost overnight, my income went from $2,300 a month to $10,000 a month.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Because that was what was missing. It wasn't just the money.
It was being of service. Mm-hmm. It was being of service and letting spirit guide that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, yes, I need the money comes through, but, you know, as above, so below, and things have to move in a fluid give and take manner. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need this so that I can help myself and help others. But I need to voice that to the divine. Hey, please bless me with this so I can be of service. Mm-hmm. Right? And literally it changed everything. So when that shaman told me, like, oh, you won't be at your job past March 30th, I'm like, but I've shifted energy and
just started making money.
And
like,
I'm making great money and I love what I do. And they're like, no, your energy is going to be so high. Spirit will kick you out of that job if you're still there. And so sure enough, March 30th, I got fired.
Wow. You're like, Excuse me? Say again?
Oh, no. I literally felt so much peace, and it felt like flames were flying all around me. And I was like a top performer. I did all this work, but it was still, there were still people that were so toxic in that environment, right? And so no matter how much joy and happiness I tried to bring to it, it was a box that I wasn't meant to be in.
Yeah.
And even they had hired a new manager, and she fired me within 2 weeks because I was sitting on all the accounts, right? And then she got fired 2 weeks later.
Oh.
But I was at peace because I'm like, it's okay. I'm like, because I knew spirit told me ahead of time this was going to happen, and I have faith and trust it's going to be okay. So I got my unemployment and everything worked out just fine. But through that process, I had to take for me, and that's when I had to leave, you know, a 6-year relationship. You know, and that was hard too, because I had no place to live. Mm-hmm. I had, all I knew is I had to go now. And I left everything, just took my clothes, and it had to happen. But it was like, what happened is I pulled a card, an Osho card, while I was at work. And because I had also been doing Reiki just on the side, mm-hmm. For a couple of years, even though I was doing corporate, even one day a week, if I saw someone,
yep, you still know, practiced. Still had it.
And spirit had guided me. I got your room. Yeah. God, so you left and I got your
still
room.
Still amazing to me with that. Yeah. This is like, oh my God.
So
like,
magical, oh, right?
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
And,
it makes me feel like I put some good vibes in there for you to be like, yeah, someone else, great being
right?
here.
Right. I'm taking good care of the space.
That whole location is just, it really magical. Had a great, great mm-hmm. vibe, feel, and purpose for what it was going to be doing yeah. in that corner. So uh-huh. so you got in there. Did yeah. your clientele build pretty quickly in there as well too?
So here's what happened is I had, again, spirit blessed me with being able to get that space, right? Mm-hmm. And even having the money to be able to get that into the room, knowing that, you know, even with the rent and I'm still working full time and then some at the other place, it's like I almost held on to it for the right time.
Yeah.
And so what happened is, oh, so yeah, I'm actually going to go back real quick to the card when I was leaving the 6-year relationship, and then everything was shifting because it was so hard. I asked for help. I said, please give me a sign pure and through. And the sign I pulled was trust. And it was a blonde girl that was free falling through the sky.
Ooh,
like, and you couldn't see anything underneath her. And that's what the card said. It said, it's time to jump. It's time to go. Barely pack mm-hmm. your bags. And trust that we're going to catch you. You can't see that we're going to catch you, but we will. Mm-hmm. And I literally couch surfed for 3 days. Didn't know if I was getting unemployment at the time. Didn't have any money saved up. Because I had, of course, you know, started making $10,000. Spent $7,000 on my 2-year shamanic training. Right? Mm-hmm. Reinvest in myself.
Yep.
And I was couch surfing 3 days. And I talked to this woman that I do meditation. And I go, oh, I can't go. I'm trying to figure my life out. I'm couch surfing. She's like, no, you're not. Couch surf at my house all summer. You know, I'm in Cabo most of the time, and come here, heal. It's by the river. It's by this. And,
yes.
And she was an angel that blessed me with that space. And I got a sign from spirit because I was in the shamanic study. And so one of the archetypes is the hummingbird, mm-hmm. which means you just trust spirit. And just like the hummingbird flies every which way without having any plans of where, but it's always okay. It just goes. And I remember everything had gone so fast. I didn't have time to have any emotion through the process of moving and leaving everything.
Yeah.
And just trusting, right? In the midst of feeling like, oh my gosh, like what everyone's going to think it's my fault. Everyone's mm-hmm. going to shame me. All those old friends, all those old everything is just going to be gone. But I have to do it anyway because I trust spirit. And at the end of the day, I will always trust spirit because spirit always knows. And And it's in the highest and greatest good of everyone involved, you know, so not just me, but everybody. Mm-hmm. And I remember I woke up after sleeping and I took a bath and I just kind of let everything sink in. I was like, whoa, it's heavy. Mm-hmm. And I went in the room and I looked and there was a hummingbird hanging above my bed.
Aww.
And I got spirit chills. Boom.
Aww.
And it was spirit being like, I caught you. Mm-hmm. You're
like,
here.
Ta-da. Yeah. Nice and soft over here.
Yeah. And wow. 3 months later, because I was just there for the summer, I got her, the beautiful woman. Oh, I love her so much. Her name is Gwen. Super spiritual goddess. And I love her so much for that. And I got her a card. And when I opened to say thank you, and when I opened the card, a little gold hummingbird sticker came out of the card.
Oh, like the papyrus, that one. Yes. Yes.
So just more spirit confirmation. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so I went through what I call a 9-month rebirthing period, right? Where I actually went to Alaska. I got to see my family. I totally ended up in a relationship I didn't expect to be in. That was also spiritually guided. My healer woman was like, oh, get in that relationship. Spirit's telling you to go. And I'm like, you're crazy. I thought I'm healing. I thought I'm taking
you're
a break here.
Time for me.
Yeah. But that had a higher, bigger purpose as well. And he is simply divine as well. And so it was February and I finally felt myself again after all the healing. And I was like, oh my, I finally felt that. I felt me again, that drive, that fire in my fire sign. And I'm like, you know what? I have been networking in this town for 10 plus years for other corporate companies. I am ready to go out and network for myself and my business and what it is I have to offer everyone, which is their freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And so I hop on the computer and I'm like, I need to find a networking opportunity. Click, 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 click. And then I hear this, no. And I go, you're right. And I close the computer and I put it to the side. I put my hands up. I look to the sky. I go, please bless me with the right networking opportunity for me. First thing in the morning, John Nichols, the president of Battleborn BNI Group, Business okay. Network International, messaged me. We had worked together 10 years ago. And he goes, Jessica, I just opened my own chapter for this networking group. You have to come. You have to join.
You're like, yes.
When as soon and I got spirit chills, boom, right? Because mm-hmm. spirit answered my call first thing in the morning. I show up to the group. I'm wearing a suit, you know, pulled it up. The vice president of Wells Fargo had been there back when I worked there, which was beautiful. And I get to stand up in my suit and talk to all these corporate professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals just like I had been. And I got to say, you know, my name is Jessica Lynn Hudson. I'm the owner of Jalen Reiki, my own company. I am a Reiki master and instrument for divine healing. And I was a top performer in the corporate world for 10 plus years. And the problems I saw, you know, in working 10 to 12 hour business days, sometimes 14, is that we're sick and we're tired and our home life is bleeding into our work life. Our work life is bleeding into our home life. And that's no way to live. That's not why we're here. And here's what I have to offer you. You're, believe it or not, we're working harder, not smarter. We are mind, body, and soul, but we're only doing the mind and the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul, that's the gold mine. That's the money right there. That's the purpose, right? And so people, Spirit has given me multiple opportunities to speak. I speak and I did group healing at the Women's Leadership and Legacy Retreat in Tahoe, mm-hmm. which will be a yearly thing. I'm involved. I was actually handpicked to be in Angelina Music's Enterprising Women's Book and Project.
Yes. Yes. This is exciting,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So what is this book and project really quickly, too? Like, how many women are we going to find in this book and how did this come together?
I always say a divine number, right? Because initially she had an idea for a number, but it might not be that number. But mm-hmm. she understands, she speaks the language that it's divine. She understands that we are shifting. And her husband together, they both own some companies and we're actually looking to open one up in Reno. And they're opening up a retreat space and a healing space in Oregon. And this is just going, it's going nationwide and worldwide. It's going to be streaming worldwide. And so her ideal was to get a collective of women that know their shit, right? And that have excellent credibility, beautiful hearts. They're of service. They believe in what they do. And they're shaking the world up, and they're here to provide and to help and to love and to heal. Mm-hmm. And coming from all different trades, you know, we have lawyers, we have doctors, oncologists, you know, Reiki masters, and from all different sides, coaches, everything. And but these women, she has gone and collected these women, and she's putting together a book. It's, there's going to be online and also the copy that you can buy. And she pitched it to Oprah magazine, and Oprah's like, abso-freaking-lutely, right?
So excited about that.
Yeah. And so the cover, so the book itself, the cover of the book is going to be in the magazine, and it's going to have like the link where people can go to find our information. And our headshots will be on the cover in the front of the book. And it's just meant to be so much more. So we're going to be doing different retreats. We're going to be traveling. We're going to really be getting out there because, you know, as and her thought behind it is that she, you know, had been suffered an injury. And so what happens is you go online and you look for the best doctors, the best healers, the best this, the best that. Well, everything online is kind of rigged these days, right? So you don't know who you're getting. You don't know if their five stars is really five stars. Mm-hmm. You don't know that they're really the right testimonials. And so, you know, predators really take advantage of people. And so she wanted to have a group that is reliable, that people can come out and seek and look up to, talk to, connect with, and that if we aren't the resource, that we'll find them the resource,
yeah.
Which is beautiful. So again, that was just another way for spirit to knock on my door for another way to be of service.
And give it a big old Oprah bow on top of it. That's like, absolutely. I'm so excited for that project too.
Yes.
And then also you've got another big gift coming up as well too. How many weeks along are you now?
So I believe I'm about 12 weeks.
Okay.
So here, and this is, oh my gosh. So they say 33 is your Christ year, right? Yeah.
Yes, I will agree.
Are you there?
Yep. Yeah. And rounding out the 33, so I turned 33 July last year. Yeah. And this year, I mean, everything changed. And especially at July, I started going through therapy right then that changed everything about my codependency understanding of what the heck I was doing for my traumas. Even though I don't consider them heavy traumas, they still affected how I grew up. And I have to reparent myself now is what I'm calling it. But yeah, I ended up having a job shift as well. You know, I was actually, same thing, stayed longer, but part of that struggle was important because the other thing wasn't ready for me yet. Mm-hmm. So as much as I was crying and dying for what felt like 3-4 months, when I finally got out, the most beautiful, the small note for me was I had written a note in April that said I wanted to make harmony, like money that was like harmonious, right?
Yes.
And then the next month I got hired by Harmonious CBD and I'm like, thank you. And I showed Brandon, I was like, I wrote about you. I was like, I was looking for you. Like, I'm so grateful for this. So, and it's definitely beautiful and perfect. It answered a lot about what felt sick and unhealthy in me, which was really calendar control. Like the calendar and the clock were starting to eat me alive. Like, I was like, I can't be held to these things. I need to shift. I need to change. I want full moons, new moons. I want those to be my guiding factors, like whatever it is. But so much more open space now, but still the journey continues for sure. So was this, did you find out you were pregnant at 33 exactly or?
No. So I actually just turned 34 on Friday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I wish I knew. I don't have a gift or anything.
You are a gift.
You
this
are
is a gift.
Gift.
This is a blessing.
I'm
right?
glad I could share with you. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's really funny. So my significant other, and what's wild is we worked together for 3 years, but we were just coworkers, you know, and I was in another relationship, and there just was nothing there, you know, at least on my end. Like,
yeah.
Now he's like, oh, I loved you.
All that time.
Yeah. And anyway, once we both left the company, we stayed friends. And after I had, you know, released the past and the old relationship and things had started shifting, he and I just ended up, boom, here we go. And it was divinely guided. You know, I had all the messaging, right? I used all my tools because I'm like, I don't even want to jump into something I'm not supposed to right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you sure? Are you sure this is the right path? And they're like, yep, dive in. And I'm like, it looks kind of wild. So, but again, I trust spirit, right? So I did. I dove in head first, and it's been worth every moment through our growth. And we both work as like massive mirrors to one another. So even when we trigger one another, we're just growing, and we just love and love each other so much. But what was funny is when we first started dating, we were at the rib cook-off, and I had gotten a reading from, her name is India Leah.
Okay.
And I highly recommend her for any listener. She does tarot, but she only works with the divine. And so she is an angel, like pure through and through. And I trust her with everything. And I actually send all my clients to connect with her. She's in Georgia, but you can hop online and find her for readings. So incredible.
Again, someone came a far way just for you. Yeah, right? I love that.
Spirit guided us together. Anyway, and she has guided me through this relationship, and she's just beautiful, and him too. Like, he, and he's opened up. He's, and here's the funny thing to kind of, I know, sidetrack, swirl a little bit, is he tells me now, or when we got together, he's like, I used to just watch you. He's like, because he used to sit behind me. He goes, you know, when you started the job, you were ripping your hair out like the rest of us. And then all of a sudden you came and you just started gliding on into work, and then nothing affected you. And it was like you were just in your own little bubble and world. And then all of a sudden you started making all this money and getting all these clients. And everyone was wondering what the freaking heck you were doing. Mm-hmm. We just saw your little crystals on your desk.
The witch.
Yeah. And so even he, you know, and his daughter, his 14-year-old daughter, have taken the Reiki course with me. My mom has taken it. They've all transformed massively. It's been so beautiful and important. But anyway, back to that rib cook-off, is one of the readings I got. She's like, oh my gosh, there's so much pregnancy energy around you. You guys are going to have three kids. And he has three kids. He's a single father of three. And he's been single father for about 9 years. Just sent the oldest off to the Navy. And, you know, he's like, what? Oh my God. But he was kind of excited. He's like, really? I'm like, I go, there's a bigger purpose. Like, we're going to have this divine family, you know, and really show the world what that looks like.
Yeah.
And really grow together, you know, illuminate one another throughout all the shadow work and through everything, and be able to create this beautiful divine family of these beings that are going to continue to change and shift the world as we are, right? And, you know, he hears some of it, and then he's like, I don't know. But he knows. He totally knows. He's so supportive of me and my wily ways. And sometimes he just looks at me, he's like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, what is she creating over here, right? Because we manifested his dream job. Like, his life has shifted big time.
Nice.
And so is, you know, the family, and bringing a lot of family healing in for both sides all around. So anyway, I was like, I came to the conclusion that, oh, I'm just birthing my business and not an actual human. And then a year later, I'm towards the end of my Christ year, which has been a doozy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm at the end of my Christ year, and I'm talking to my mom, and she had just come in from Elko, and I'm talking to her at breakfast, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm gonna have the worst period ever. My boobs hurt so bad. And I heard myself talking, and I'm like, I think I've been saying this for a while. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I'm like, maybe we should just get a test after real quick. She goes, I think so. She goes, because I've been having dreams that I'm pregnant and I'm not even dating anyone. Yeah.
Someone's trying to tell her, hey, Ma, guess what? Guess what? Oh, my God. So you went and got tests and found out immediately?
Well, that was funny, too, is I go to the store, and we're at Walgreens, and I grab a test, and I'm like, there's a bathroom. She goes, don't you want to pay for it first? I'm like, no. So she hands me the stick, and she goes to the person to go pay. And I go in, I pee on it, and I'm like, I know I'm not pregnant. And I look, and it gives me that first bright pink line, and that's the one that says you're not pregnant. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, because I'm about to go see my dad in Vegas. I'm like, mimosas. And then this other little pink line kind of starts coming up. But it was such a light line.
You're like,
that I just stared at it.
Questionable.
And I go, what does this mean?
Do I need more pee?
Try
a second time.
I literally, my mom comes in, are you okay? And I'm like, what does this mean? And she looks at me, she goes, well, only one of them is bright. I think it means you're not pregnant. I go, but there's definitely something else there. Mm-hmm. And then we go back out, and she presses the button, and one of the associates come in. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, hey, what do you think this means? And I was so beat red. I'm like, oh my God. And so then we decide to just grab the one that says pregnant or not pregnant. Mm-hmm. And boom, pregnant. And I was like,
And so immediately all the trauma factors start flying up. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not ready. I can't do this. Bah, 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 bah. I'm just launching this business. What am I supposed to, you know?
Yeah.
But that's all going on in my head, right? So, my mom and I go to, I look at my mom. I'm like, I have to tell him. And she's like, don't you want to process? I go, nope. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I need to say it now. Mm-hmm. So we go to his work. First, we go to the store and she picks him up a whole big, oh, it's Halloween, by the way. We grab a big Halloween stack of white chocolate Kit Kat bars. And because those are his favorite, he loves white chocolate. Hence me. No. He is a strong Hispanic man. Although my grandma is Maria Luisa Garcia. You but see, I look porcelain as heck.
Yes, definitely. Yes, divine doll.
Thank you.
You get the white chocolate Kit Kat.
Oh my God. And we go to his work and I'm just shaking. I'm like, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Should we even be here? Oh my God. And my head's just like, bah, da, da, da. And then my mom's trying to casually talk to me and I'm like, I just can't. And then I see him come out and I'm like, and he's walking and he's just kind of looking like, is that them? Is that like, mm-hmm. what like, are they doing? Right what are now? They doing here? And I hit my mom and I go, 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 go. She jumps out of the car, jumps at him. She's like, hi, you know, good to see you. She's like, I brought you a treat. I mean, some treats. And I jump out and I hug him. I go, I brought you an unexpected treat. And I just held the thing that says pregnant right out in front of him. And he's like, what is that? What is this? And I had literally felt so much energy in my solar plexus. Like, it made me feel, like, sick. Mm-hmm. And I just hugged him. And I just had such a release. I was shaking and crying. And I literally felt all of it just, like, dissipate. Mm-hmm. And he just hugged me and he's like, well, it's a good time to tell you that I got the raise.
Yeah.
he goes, they just promoted me today.
That's right. And then I saw you probably, was it that same night or some soon following? Because that's what you told me too, is that it was good thing he just got the raise at the same time.
Yeah, it was all divine, right? Mm-hmm. And and so what was wild is then what happened is I had, was it a couple days later? Oh, so then I end up, my dad's here from Alaska. He's in Vegas. So the divine timing, right? My mom was there from Elko. Now I'm flying to go see my dad. Mm-hmm. So I got to share that with him and his wife. And so it was like everyone was there, you know? And when I came back, I remember that I was in the I was in the bathtub because I'm such a bath mermaid, right? And I always turn the lights off and I have a little candle going. And, of course, I was just juicing out, like, scrolling Facebook. And all of a sudden I had this vision and it was just like, boom. And all I saw was white and I saw black letters and it said Josiah.
For the name? For, it's a boy? You already know?
The energy for me is a boy. Mm-hmm. I haven't got the official, but for me I'm feeling a boy. But the name Josiah came. And I'm like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What is that? So I Google it and it said gift from God. Mm-hmm. And I, like, every essence of my being was like, I know that there's a purpose to what I'm producing here and this family, and that, you know, I'm going to do as much work I can while I'm here, you know, to do spirit's work, to do my work to the best of my ability, but I know it doesn't stop with me.
Yeah.
And so now I have these sweet little light beings, right, that are going to come forth. And yeah, and what's beautiful is through the process, right? So where I'm at now is I offer Reiki, 1 hour sessions. And that's for stress reduction, relaxation, promotes the body's natural ability to heal itself, because we're just peeling layers, right, of old conditioning, old patterns, all of that. But it's a really light, beautiful healing, but it's meant to have on a consistent basis. Because I tell people, I'm like, it's not like you're not going to come in here and lift your first 3-pound weights and then go out and be a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're strengthening, you know, the more we're shedding the old stuff, the more we're strengthening your energy field, the more you're going to go out and then you're going to start noticing the Bob Marley effect, right? The give no Fs, where the sky is falling around you, but you have a higher perspective on what's happening and you're untouched. But it's a lifelong journey. You don't go have one Reiki session and be like, okay, I'm good.
I'm healed. Like, exactly.
Probably not, honey.
There's layers on layers.
So
of
many
the
layers. And then I offer what I call shamanic healing practices, because I have been doing the studies of the shamanic healing in a 2-year intensive study, which has been so beautiful because we literally rip ourselves down to ground zero of everything, every mask we've ever worn, right?
Wow.
And then we rebuild ourselves back up, and then we learn all of these beautiful tools. And for me, it's just another way of, we're still connecting with the divine, mm-hmm. right? But these are new tools, new skill sets of how to do deep, deep healing. And so through the shamanic healing, those are about 1.5 to 2 hours. That's where we do the deep shifts, the deep work, where I call it getting the skeletons out of the closet. So what are the cycles, right? So again, from 0 to 6 is when our subconscious is created. And so what happened in that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we receive so much of our trauma. And that's where we get the moments of feeling like, you know, unworthy, never being good enough, not having enough money, not being able to have what we want. If there's alcoholism in the family, like whatever those things are, you know, were we molested,
you
know, loss of control, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So then what happens is because we're open sponges, we don't know, we can't filter out what's true and what's not true. We're open sponges. So all of that becomes our truth mm-hmm. through and through. So then we attract that truth over and over again through cycle and cycle and cycle throughout our whole life. So when people come in, I'm like, okay, so, you know, what's triggering you? What's going on? They're like, oh my God, my boss is such a jerk. And they're always in my personal space. And, you know, they're constantly attacking me, or, you know, nothing I do is ever good enough. I never get the bonuses, but I'm outworking everyone. It makes me feel disempowered. It makes me feel not good enough. I never have enough money. It makes me sad, depressed, whatever those emotions are, right? I say, okay, well, tell me the first memory you ever have had that you can recollect where you felt those same exact emotions.
Mm.
And they're like, oh my God, I was 4 years old and my older sister was the favorite and my parents were always mad at me and she always got everything and I never got anything. But I kept trying to outshine and let them notice me, but they just kept coming down on me. You know, when was the worst time? Then they bring that up. Then we're like, okay, now we've found a cycle. Well, it is energetically stored in your body. So just like with cancer, if people have cancer, the doctor comes in, they remove it on a physical level, right?
Yeah.
Then what happens? The cancer comes back in the same spot because they did not heal the root cause of the problem, which is the pain and the emotions that are festering in that same exact space.
Yeah.
Right. And so through the shamanic healing, through the healing I do, is I identify with spirit where in the body that energy is stored, and we release and remove it from the body. And that's when people start having the rapid, rapid healing.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful. And that's when what happens is they literally shift. So they start healing over the next couple of weeks. They start raising in vibration. Their awareness completely shifts. And then spirit will give them a test, an aha moment, where they'll throw something that would have triggered them, that same feeling, but it won't even touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, and they feel so empowered. They're like, oh my gosh, that's not my truth anymore. That's not me. It didn't even hurt me.
Yep.
And then what happens is the universe has to mirror to you how you feel about yourself. So now that's not your truth. Now you know your worth, right? Or you're getting there. You're coming back into unconditional self-love, which is the game. That's the whole purpose. We get stripped of unconditional self-love, and now it's time for us to get it back, right? So as you raise in vibration, then the universe mirrors to you the love that you have for yourself. So then you get the relationships that shift overnight.
Yeah.
Right? Even my relationships. Even if he wasn't doing the healing work, if I was healing and he's meant to be with me, he starts healing and shifting to match my vibration. Or if that person's just a cycle, if they're just meant to be there temporarily, then they're going to move out because they don't match your vibration anymore.
Yeah.
Same with the jobs, same with everything. So at the end of the day, everything that happens, every occurrence that happens that triggers you, you agreed to have that in your space to show you what needs to be healed.
Yep.
So we can never point the finger outside of ourselves. We have to turn around and do our internal work so that doesn't happen anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and the internal work is what I'm grateful more people are turning to doing, because, mm-hmm. you know, I definitely noticed once I started doing my own, I could hear how much I hear other people around me blame their problems outside of themselves. And I'm like, oh no, that's really not a problem. That's just your problem.
Right.
Like, but you can go figure out your problem. Like, you really can face it more and figure out where and why. Reset it, give yourself that new truth, new vibration, open up to your spirit, connect with it, and find a new way of being. And it can still be in, you know, for some people, it can still be in the job world. There are definitely jobs to fill. And sometimes it's not about the job. Maybe you're fine with the job, but it's the rest of you. You can still show up to all those things feeling much happier when you're doing the right kind of self work.
Right. Well, and they are, for me, they're tests,
mm-hmm.
right? We have to graduate that level, that Mario video game. in order to level up. So we have to go through what we have to go through there to gain that strength, realize that we have outgrown that, and then Spirit's going to give us that next level.
And I love that you say gain the strength, because you it's not about being strong for that journey. Mm. You'll learn the strength in that journey every time.
And being vulnerable, right? And I think, and then the biggest thing is I love doing the healing work, but for me and for Spirit, and that's why there's more and more opportunities for me to be here spreading awareness and speaking, is that I'm not the healer, right? I'm the healer of myself. I'm the Reiki master of me and myself and my journey. And I am that, again, that spiritual midwife, like my healer was for me, right? For others. So I'm just here to open you up to connect with your spirit, to realize who you are, because we are all one, right? Absolutely. And we are all that divine highness. And that's, again, why I teach the courses, the Reiki level 1 and 2 certification and the master course, is because that really opens you up to where I'm not just sharing with you. You don't have to come to, you know, I still go do the healing work with others, but you can cleanse and clear your energy every day. You can shift the energy around you every day. If you see something's coming up, you're not helpless. Mm-hmm. You can bring yourself back into a state of neutrality. Your spirit can talk to you to really start moving you, making sure you're in alignment to start shedding out of those old cycles, those old patterns, and coming into. So we had to go through the dark in order to come into the light, because we're all meant to live a luxurious, joyful, and abundant life.
Absolutely.
And now is the time more than ever people are waking up.
And there's definitely, and especially now, right? I say there's more movement forward. I'm always so grateful for what time we're in right now, where this is an open conversation. Even things like mental health are an open conversation. Like, oh, the world, we're going places, people. Still just got to get rid of plastic more. But actually here to kind of wrap, because we did great. Oh, beautiful. Oh, I'm so glad you shared so much, and you did a beautiful job of expressing your journey. Definitely, I would say even myself, I related a lot to that corporate world, that everything. Thank you for how you're helping women now, and how your story here today is helping women too.
Thank you.
How can they get in touch with you, set up sessions with you? What is the best information and contact?
Okay, so everyone write this down. No. So honestly, my cell phone, 775-342-5556. Texting works really well, because I'm often in meetings and things like this, or with my clients, you know, but if calling works better, then feel free to leave a message. And you could also email me at jaylynreiki@gmail.com, and that's jaylynreiki@gmail.com. And you can also visit my website, jaylynreiki.com.
Beautiful. And one more question. If somebody is listening to us from outside of our Reno Sparks, Northern Nevada area, can you also do like a Skype or a web session with somebody from afar? Is that also effective?
Oh, I am all about figuring stuff out.
Heck yeah.
And, you know, I do distance sessions. So especially with the Angelina Musics project, I'm going to be putting a lot more together to do online and be able to do those distance sessions as well.
About to become one of the top in the nation again here, Miss Jessica. You've just got success in your bones and your spirit. Oh, thank you again. I appreciate you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
You still have one more question for her.
I do. Oh, yes, we do. Ooh. There's always a lot. Thank you for reminding me. I've had such a good time.
It's my only part to remind Tessa of the question.
So I love to ask every guest, what is your favorite thing about space? Outer space.
Oh, I'm like, you mean like my own space?
Personal space.
No, like the planets, any other galaxies, anything about the actual world our lovely planet Earth spins through every day.
Good save.
Right.
Okay. So when I think of space, right? When I think of space, I think of like star families, right? And the fact that, of course, we're not the only ones here, right? The best thing that we can know is that we know nothing, and to just be open, and to know that, yes, there is light and dark, you know, but darkness is nothing to fear. Darkness is something that can be illuminated. And as light keepers is what we do, it's not our job to stay in the light. It's our job to see that when we go into the dark, that we keep our light and that we keep that high vibration, so that it starts to shift the darkness around us and illuminate that. And that comes into the space because there are so many beings and star families out there that have already illuminated and enlightened that are here to assist us through this journey. And there are also the other, and that's okay too. But for me, it's knowing that I know nothing and being okay with that. It's that complete surrender to the divine and to the process, mm-hmm. and knowing that we're guided and we're loved, and that there's so much more out there, and that we're not alone. That when we are going through the trials and tribulations, everyone is going through it, and there is a resource. There are many resources. You just have to open up and go find them, because there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is that joy, for sure.
Yeah,
and the sun. I love the sun. Right. And the moon. I'm a moon girl, too. I sing to them both.
I love that. I say, they deserve it. That sun.
Yeah.
It don't turn off for nobody. Mm. It blind everybody with its whole goodness. Oh, thank you again for being in here today, Jessica. Appreciate you so much.
So much gratitude.
Everyone that has listened today, we appreciate your presence as well. It is a gift to us. We hope you have a great holiday season. And in 2020, we'll be definitely doing one a month and carrying on and doing our thing. Keep sharing it with friends. I'm just so grateful. Thank you. All right, everyone. Mwah. Mwah, have a blessed day in the universe.